97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Well, happy Tuesday to you. A little chilly out there for your drive out the door this morning. You know what kind thing I did for my daughter this morning, Kim St. Ange? I realized, because my wife is out of town at a business conference, and my truck will not currently fit in my garage. So I said to my daughter, there's a chance that there may be frost in the morning. Why don't you park in the garage? So she got to get to go to school for this morning, and she got a frost-free car for a difference.
What a good dad.
Yeah, for a change. Thank you.
My parents will not be happy to hear this if they didn't know it, but I was that person who would defrost it just enough where there was like a little circle, like a little hole,
so
and I
could
see just a little bit.
I broke more than one credit card trying to scrape the frost off a window.
That's the worst. When you're already running late, it's freezing cold out, you're trying to defrost your car.
I don't think it was that bad in most places, but there was frost on the bed of my pickup truck this morning, my bed cover. So I know there was some frost in some of the outlying areas, and hopefully you didn't get stuck or impacted by that. Anyway, if you just wake up this morning, some breaking news is that Donald Trump has announced who his choice is going to be for the Homeland Security Department. It's going to be Kristi Noem. The governor out in South Dakota. And it's pretty funny to go to the media and see their headlines on his selection. I had to read this to you because it's just so predictable. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, right, which is obviously a British newspaper, but they do a lot of U.S. reporting. And you know this is probably going to be the same headline on CNN somewhere. Here it is. Trump selects puppy shooting South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem for major cabinet position.
How much is she regretting including that part in her book?
That story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was not necessary.
My dad shot our dog one time.
Well, here's the thing. I understand when you live certain places, that is what happens. That they're saying that's the humane way to put a dog down. But it just isn't. It wasn't necessary to include in the book.
Yeah, I don't know why she felt it necessary, but maybe she wasn't writing the book for, I mean, our assumption is she's writing the book to gain national prominence or something. Maybe she's just writing a book about her life. And that, I mean, that's something that happened. And if you didn't perceive it as anything out of the ordinary, the dog was a bad dog. It was biting people. It wouldn't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you heard the phrase, that dog won't hunt, that's usually not a good phrase for the dog. In the hunting community, if that dog won't hunt, they generally don't become then house pets. But people don't like to think about the reality of what happens at places like, you know, butcher shops and where they make sausage.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't like to think about that. I think one of the best things that you said this morning was now that Carrie Lake lost the seat for the U.S. Senate in Arizona, Carrie Lake for press secretary.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be fantastic.
I think Lake is probably, first of all, challenging the vote in Arizona, but I would hope the Trump people would consider something like that because the media, the press corps has no idea if they were to pick somebody who had been a member of the media like Carrie Lake for 30 years. She knows all their tricks. So that is definitely something for us to look forward to. Carl, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education and education work and needs back to the states.
Yep, that's President Trump talking about what he's going to do to the Department of Education. He's staffing up. There are a few more names that are rolling down the line that might fill out his cabinet. We're going to get you a live report from Mark Meredith from Fox News coming up here at about 8:22.
Some of these Democratic governors say they're going to stand in the way. They're going to make it hard for us. Well, I you know, a suggestion. If you're not going to help us, get the hell out of the way if we're going to do it.
Yeah, I tell you, I would not. I'm not sure I'd want to be in front of Tom Homan between something he wanted and him. So they're going to get the message pretty quickly as the border czar.
This is the last time I will stand here at Arlington as Commander-in-Chief. It's been the greatest honor of my life. To lead you, to serve you, care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us.
There you have it. Joe Biden giving, as he said there, one of his, certainly his last speech there at Arlington, But maybe one of his final is commander-in-chief. Is there one more left in him? I don't know.
Rubio, will you call for ceasefire in Gaza?
No, I will not. On the contrary, are you filming it? Well, yes. I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on.
Yeah, that's your next Secretary of State, ladies and gentlemen. And I couldn't be happier about that. I got to be honest with you. I am one of those people that was not a Marco Rubio supporter in the primary when he ran for president. Donald Trump dismantled him. I watched him as he gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union one time, the time when he got dry mouth and had to drink a bottle of water the whole time while he was doing it. Not a good look. He has matured a lot since then, I believe, as a politician. He was at one point working with John McCain on something for amnesty for illegal aliens. I think he has changed his position on that a little bit. But as Secretary of State, he's not going to be dealing with those issues specifically. He's going to be dealing with our relations with countries around the world and conflicts around the world, like in Israel and Gaza. And what a relief it's going to be not to have Tony Blinken over there wrapping his arms around the Palestinian Hamas supporters and pushing for a two-state solution and threatening our closest ally in Israel with withholding military support for them in the middle of a war. Listen to the rest of this soundbite as this reporter attacked Marco Rubio as he's walking down the hallway into a hearing, and Rubio made it very clear where he stands on Israel and Hamas.
Rubio, will you call for ceasefire in Gaza?
On the contrary,
Rubio,
are you filming it? I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians that are being killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas has stopped building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 have died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed every day?
I think it's horrifying. I think it's terrible. And I think Hamas is 100% to blame. That's what I think. Make sure you post that, please.
I love that. I agree. You know, I think it's interesting that Trump is picking people like Marco Rubio, like J.D. Vance, who were not his biggest fan not that long ago. And they've changed their opinion about him, myself included. What? Not that I'm a cabinet pick. I wish. But Trump's all about loyalty. And Vivek Ramaswamy was on a podcast I listened to, and he made a really interesting point because Trump, in some ways, is getting slammed for picking people who are going to be loyal to him. Right. Well, if you have like this CEO of a company, right, you're heading up a large corporation, you can't pick people to work directly under you like a CFO who are going to completely go against everything your vision for the company. You have to have people there who might challenge you in ways, but who ultimately are going to want to back you and support you. And that's exactly what Trump is doing.
What does it do to Marco Rubio's stock 4 years from now if he's been a United States senator, served as Secretary of State? Who knows what else? Hey, we'll talk to Mark Meredith about who some of the other picks are that are being talked about. He's with Fox News. He's reporting live this morning. We're going to check in with him right after this.
No, I will not. On the contrary, are you filming it? I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians?
Wow, that is Senator Marco Rubio, I should say, and probably the next Secretary of State. And he's leaving no doubt as to where he stands on a lot of these things. Mark Meredith with Fox News is in a better place this morning. He's in Palm Beach, Florida, which is, I'm sure, is much nicer than where we are here in St. Louis. Mark, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing great. You know, it's 81 degrees, and I laughed when I got off the plane yesterday because I felt like the last 4 years I had pushed pause. We came down here so much between 2017 and 21, and then we were in Wilmington for so many years, and now it is good to be back in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not a bad spot to be.
Well, this time of year, probably a little better than Delaware, right?
1,000%. I couldn't stop smiling as I was walking downtown last night. It's a different world down here, to say the least.
Yeah, well, the president-elect keeps dropping, like, it seems like daily he's dropping a couple of names now. I guess Kristi Noem is the most recent one I heard, right?
That's correct. So Noem, who's the sitting governor of South Dakota, is going to be tapped, at least nominated, to be the Secretary of Homeland Security. It's a big job. I mean, it is not a throwaway position by any stretch of the imagination. And Noem is an interesting choice because she had been considered a rising star among Republican circles for a long time, except for earlier this summer she had a book that came out in which she talked about she shot her dog because she said the dog was being unruly. Then, like, ever since then, it was kind of like, well, what's Noem's future going to be? But now, obviously, if she does end up leading DHS, I mean, talk about a 180, and she will certainly be in one of the most high-profile jobs in Washington come January.
Yeah.
I did see that Donald Trump put out a tweet, I think it was, saying that he will not be inviting Nikki Haley or Mike Pompeo to join the Trump administration.
That's correct, Kim. So he said that over the weekend. It was such a stark reminder to me of kind of what's coming because, you know, when he was in the White House the first time, we would get these policy directives or these cabinet announcements via Twitter. And that hasn't happened, obviously, the last few years. And you can remember how jarring this can be because it completely changes the calculus for a lot of people that, let's say you were somebody who had been really working with Haley and really thought that she was going to help kind of guide you in this next Trump administration. And then Trump says she's out. Now, the one thing I think we all remember, just because you're out now doesn't mean you can be brought back in later. And people that are coming in now, you know, it certainly could be on the outs a year from now. There's always that possibility when it comes to a Trump administration.
Yeah, we're talking to Mark Meredith from Fox News. What do we know about Lee Zeldin's background in terms of running the EPA? I know him from, obviously, from New York politics and from being in Congress. What's his background on environmental stuff?
Well, when it comes to Lee Zeldin, you're right. This is somebody that Trump has certainly tried to propped up before. He ran for governor of New York, I want to say it was 2 years ago during the midterms, and he still came up short. There was polling showing that he was going to have a shot there. But for the EPA, one of the big priorities under a Trump administration is going to be necessarily scaling back some of the regulation that would be getting in the way of business development. Obviously, Trump says he still wants to see clean air, clean water, that the environment is good, but he has always said that he feels that government intervention on the environment often stalls developers from being able to move forward with projects. And he's talked about this on the trail. So I imagine Zeldin's job is going to be to try to cut the red tape from there. But Zeldin is certainly somebody who has continued to have the good graces of the president-elect. And this will be a good post for him. There's talk about the EPA and other agencies maybe being moved out of Washington. I don't know if that means they'd go to New York State or they'd go somewhere else. But Trump has certainly floated the idea of moving some of the central bureaucracy out of the district into other areas of the country.
Wow. Speaking of New York, Elise Stefanik, I would think in a tight House race the way they've got right now, they're going to maintain their majority by, like, what, a vote? If you take Elise Stefanik out of that and put her in the administration as an ambassador to the UN, isn't it a Democrat governor that's going to replace that position?
Well, usually for House elections, there would be a special election that would take place in that district. But you're right. It certainly would create an issue of a vulnerability when a close House vote. Because you're right. We're still waiting to find out what the final numbers are going to be.
Yeah.
And I would imagine at some point somebody's going to say, oh, maybe Speaker Johnson's like, please stop taking my members. and obviously for a lot of these lawmakers, too, it's tough to leave now that you're in the majority. I mean, if you have a committee assignment, if you're going to be a committee chair, you know, you wait years for this, and this is something that I would imagine that it would be a tough call for some people. However, usually when the president asks you to serve, you say, yes, I'll serve my country. I also want to mention that, you know, a lot of these cabinet posts, they're not being officially announced. It's weird. It's kind of leaking out drip by drip.
Yeah.
Compare that to 2016. I almost said 4 years. Compare that to 8 years ago. Do you remember they would have cameras set up in Trump Tower? And people would go, basically, we'd see them go by the elevators and have dinner with Mitt Romney. It's very different. It's happening kind of like behind the scenes this time.
Mark Meredith, enjoy sunny Florida. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, take care. We'll be back in just a minute.
It is clear that many people that voted for Amendment 3 did so under information that was false.
Republican Missouri House Rep. Justin Sparks announcing this week during a Facebook Live he's running for Speaker of the House.
There you have it. If you missed our interview with Justin a little earlier, it was about 7:08. You can hit rewind on the app, or we've got it posted up on the podcast already if you want to go to the website or the Odyssey app. Importantly, he's going to run for Speaker, right? There's a lot at stake in the legislature this year, and we've got Senator Bill Eigel on the phone with us right now, who's about to term out of that whole mess down there. Bill, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Yes, sir. Good to have you back on the air. What have you been up to?
Well, I'm sleeping a little bit more than I was a few months ago.
Yeah.
So that's good. But I got to tell you, you know, I was engaged in the fight against Amendment 3. Obviously, that was one of the big downsides of election night. Pretty much everything else turned out pretty well. So, like you said, we've got a lot of work to do as we head into the new year.
Bill, I have no greater disappointment than the lack of elected officials in this state doing more to fight Amendment 3. Where the hell were they? Where was the governor? Where was the lieutenant governor, for that matter? Where were all of these so-called conservative politicians? They should have been banging pots together and getting on every TV and radio station they could to try to lobby against this thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I got to tell you, I want to send a thank you out to the folks that are listening that were part of the grassroots effort that put in a huge Herculean effort to get Amendment 3 as close as it was. If it hadn't been for those grassroots all over the state that were knocking doors and doing their part, it would have been a lot bigger loss than what we saw just by a couple points on election night. Unfortunately, to your point, if we would have had if the top of the ticket in Missouri Republican politics had raised the kind of money to fight Amendment 3 that they had raised to fight me on August 6th, we would not have had Amendment 3 passed in this state. That's a fact. And it's pretty disappointing that we didn't see that come together. And look at the Missouri that we have right now. Right now, we're looking at a Missouri that, A, leads the country, thanks to Amendment 3, in being one of the most pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-death cult states in the entire union. We have a 15-hour minimum wage. We have the biggest, most inefficient government that we've ever had. The tax burden on the same 6 million people that have lived here for a generation has never been greater than it is right now. We've expanded Obamacare. And if you didn't know I was talking about Missouri, you'd think I was talking about a blue state, not one of the reddest states in the country that gave Donald Trump a 20-point win. So I think we need new leadership in this state. And we're going to get some new leadership. And I listened to your interview with Justin Sparks earlier, and that is exactly what I'm talking about. We've got to come and unite as Republicans around the principles that unite us as a party. Smaller government, defense of rights. John Patterson does not believe in those ideas. That's why Justin Sparks is challenging him for one of the most powerful positions in Jefferson City, because Justin Sparks has always been a guy that's done the right thing, even though right now he is risking everything to challenge one of the most powerful status quo guys in Jefferson City. That's John Patterson, and I couldn't be more proud of him. So we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to start in January, especially with Justin Sparks as the potential new Speaker of the House, rolling back the wrong that was done in Amendment 3.
I thought one of the most eye-opening comments that Justin Sparks told us today was what he says happens from the establishment. If you're considering a run for a leadership position, what they want you to basically pay. It's an obscene amount. What has your experience been in the Senate?
Well, yeah. So you're talking, you guys are talking to the guy that when I got out of line, they took my parking spaces,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And tried to take your furniture, right?
that was the pettiness that I experienced. It was a consistent theme. And that Missouri that we're at right now, that's the legacy of Mike Parson and the Caleb Rowdens, who have left behind a state that in policy looks far more blue than what the voters have asked for. So you talk about Justice Marks. You know, a couple weeks ago, or several weeks ago, when John Patterson said he would be okay with Amendment 3 if it passed, because he wanted to respect the will of the voters. Justin Sparks came out and did a very brave thing and challenged John Patterson and said, you know what, that's not okay. We're going to protect life in this state, and I don't care what position you're coming into. It's not okay. I found out last week that as a result of Justin Sparks actually saying that out loud in public, it wasn't just but a few days later that they took his office in the Capitol. So they're taking his office.
You're kidding
me. Going down the same road that they did with me. So there couldn't be a better time for Justin to be taking a stand.
Wow, he's in good company, right?
Absolutely. And this is why we're not moving forward as a state.
Right.
So we have, you know, what I have said repeatedly, the expectations of our new governor, Mike Kehoe, the expectations of Cindy O'Loughlin, who quite frankly had a pretty unproductive term as majority floor leader, and the expectations of whoever the new speaker in the House of Representatives is, that they're sky high. And if they don't deliver on everything they said they would in campaign season, you can be darn sure there's going to be a lot of Republicans ready to hold them accountable outside of Jefferson
City. Boy, that's the truth. We're talking to Bill Igel. You know, the thing about it is, Bill, they're just going to say, well, it was Bill Igel's fault. That's the reason we get IP reform done. Are you kidding me? I mean, if they had passed that, we wouldn't be the most, you know, abortion-loving state in the union right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to me. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They don't have me to blame anymore down there in Jefferson City. I mean, what are they going to do all day? I mean, it's crazy. So you're absolutely right. We put everything on the line to get initiative petition reform passed. It didn't happen, and now we have Amendment 3. So like I said, the expectations for a red, bold Missouri are higher than ever, and I hope that the folks going into those leadership positions, Cindy O'Loughlin was elected pro tem, you know, in spite of really not having a single accomplishment to point to during her time as floor leader. I mean, gosh, even the transgender sports bill that we passed, the boys and girls sports bill that we passed, all that was undone with Amendment 3. So she's got a lot to prove that she can deliver any kind of results. And certainly Mike Kehoe, you know, he was promising all the right things. And, you know, I'm rooting for Mike Kehoe. Obviously, I ran against him and had some different perspectives, but I'm rooting him. I want him to be successful. But if he continues the status quo that we've seen under Mike Parson, I'm going to be joining the rest of the Republican grassroots around the state and those millions of voices and holding him accountable.
Bill, what is next for you? So I hope we're not hearing the last of your voice. What are you going for next?
Well, I still got some more sleep to catch up on. You know, that's the Bill Igel rumor mill is very. You know, the Bill Igel rumor mill is so very active. Sometimes I check in on the rumor mill just to get ideas. So I tell you, public service has been a big part of my life. I served in the Air Force for 8 years. I served in the Senate for 8 years. If there's a role for me to play in the public space that people would entrust me with their vote towards some future position, I'd be humbled and honored to take a look at that. You know, I'm a big believer that God's got a plan for every one of us. And I can't tell you today what's next for me, but I can tell you that whatever it is, God's got control of it. And when he's ready to show me and show over the rest of us what that is, I'll be ready to take action.
So it's not true that you've been contacted by the Trump administration, right?
Was that a rumor?
I'm just poking him a little bit because he said the Bill Igel rumor mill has been going crazy.
Maybe one day you'd run for Congress, right? Would you ever do that?
I feel like all of a sudden I'm going to get in trouble on this show. I don't
say it here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
That's right. Anything I might say might be breaking news for the next 24 hours.
Wow, there we go. Okay.
So it's not a no for Congress
eventually.
That's
what I'm hearing here.
You didn't shut that idea down.
There's a lot of broken things up in Washington, D.C. I will say that right now I've got a lot of faith in both of the congressmen that represent parts of St. Charles County. Bob Onder, who you guys know is going to be great.
Yes.
You know, Ann Wagner, I know there's some conversation in this, but I'll tell you what, Ann Wagner, I think, is going to become one of the chairmen up there in Washington, D.C., which, quite frankly, is pretty good thing for St. Louis County. So, like I said, there's no rush. You know, I'm working with some grassroots right now on a few things, and a part of me believes that God's got a plan, and, you know, he hasn't revealed what that is yet, and that's okay.
That's good. Not often you're going to hear Bill Igel speech, but I think I accomplished that a minute ago. Bill, it's always great having you on, my friend. Looking forward to whatever happens next.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. All right. You guys have a great morning. We'll talk real soon.
We will. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. All right, we're back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
All right, shout out to all of our first responders this morning. We turn our focus for just a moment to St. Francis County, the Sheriff's Department down there in beautiful Farmington, Missouri, and Sheriff Dan Bullock and the men and women that make up his department. Thank you for all that you do for all of us. And that's what this month is all about here. We try to focus on a different first responder organization every day. And I tell you, the Responder Rescue has the back of the sheriff's deputies, the police officers, the firefighters, the paramedics. If they get injured in the line of duty, suddenly they end up with medical bills that they can't afford to pay all of them. Who steps in? Responder Rescue is one of those organizations that's always there paying these bills and helping out our first responders, which is why we try to help them. Now, they're having a raffle. We call it the ATF raffle, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. It should always have been the name for a convenience store and not a government agency, don't you think? Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, fabulous prizes. I'll mention them again. The Range is donating the Range St. Louis West CMMG Descent MK4 9mm rifle, $2,100. That will have three winners chosen. First winner gets their pick of the three, and then number two, and then number three. Second one is an evening for 10 at the Lit Cigar Luciano Lounge. It's their private lounge. You get a bottle of bourbon for the room, one of their barrel picks, and cigars for the evening. And then number three, the basket of bourbon. I'm putting this together now. I got a couple great donations today from my friend Tom. This Wayne Gretzky bottle that you can only get in Canada, apparently, from The Great One. Isn't that fantastic? Along with a Midwinter's Night Dram, a bottle of Blanton's Gold. We've got some Weller Antique 107, Old Dominic Cask Strength. Our friends from Lore Wine and Spirits have donated a whole bunch of great bourbons for me to add to that. It's going to be worth over $1,500, and you'll get to pick. It's also going to have a Blues jersey signed by Robert Thomas in that basket. So please go buy your tickets today. Text Responder to 33100. That's one way to do it. Just text the word Responder to 33100. It'll send you a link, and then you can buy tickets. They're just a dollar a piece. We ask you to buy at least 10, but the more you buy, the more extra tickets you get. And we'll pick a winner Wednesday, November 27th, out at the Range at around noon. So anyway, thanks to all of you for that. Let's see here. A couple things I forgot to get to. A judge is going to rule today on whether or not to scrap Donald Trump's conviction in that hush money case. So there's a lot going on. This judge, Juan Merchan, who's been pretty biased, we'll find that out probably sometime this morning, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But we have a couple of birthdays to recognize, don't we?
Yes. So, Tricia, our boss, happy birthday to Tricia. And longtime listener, I believe, and the mom of our producer, Ethan Bright, Cindy. It's her birthday today. So, happy birthday to Cindy and Tricia.
Happy birthday to both of you. I hope you have a great sunny day. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. So you can maybe, when Tricia gets off this afternoon and goes and picks up baby Bernie, they can go have a nice dinner somewhere.
And it actually feels like fall. Did I see highs in the upper 50s?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit cooler today, right? So whatever you got to get out there and do, that'd be a good day for it. Maybe a little more rain here before the end of the week. I don't know. We'll see about that. But anyway, that's going to do it for us. Remember, text Responder to 33100. All of the money donated is going to go to Responder Rescue. All of it. We've raised over $80,000. You have helped us raise over $80,000 the last 3 years. Let's add to that this year, please. And thank you. We appreciate it. Hey, Brian Kilmeade coming up next, as always. And then, of course, Annie and Mark will be in here a little later today. We'll be back on Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.